Today, I want to talk about our first reading from Isaiah. I know we've got Matthew in the Sermon on the Mount, and it's very important, and I'm just trusting that good pastors before have told you about that stuff, so that we can talk about these other things today. Because, you know, the Sermon on the Mount is kind of Matthew's biggest teaching moment, right? And so the lectionary pairs with that these lessons from the Old Testament in particular. Last week was the Micah 6. You got the Micah 6:8, you know, do justice, love, kindness, walk humbly with your God. That's a big one. Today, we get this stuff in Isaiah 58, and it's also a really big deal. Joe Everson, the former pastor here, who wrote that book about Isaiah, I looked up what he had to say about this, and sure enough, he said that this passage speaks again to the heart of Isaiah's vision. So this is the heart of Isaiah's vision. This is the main thing Isaiah is trying to get the people to know at this point. And so I thought it would be worth talking about. The problem is it's so great, this Isaiah reading is, that I don't have that much to say about it because it's already been said. It's right in there, right? It's poetic and beautiful and powerful. It starts off, as I did in the children's sermon, "Shout out, do not hold back, lift up your voice like a trumpet." I considered having all of you also do that, but I don't know. It's snowy out, and there's only a few people, and some of you would like, yeah, that would be actually pretty funny. Well, now I feel like I missed it. Missed an opportunity. I mean, we still could now, right? Do you want to make some trumpet sounds now? I don't think it's necessary. All right. Some of you want to make, okay. Well, the content of what you shout out like a trumpet is also important. Just making a loud, have you ever heard a trumpet? Now, there's people who are really great trumpet players who can make it make some beautiful sounds. But then there's some other people who play the trumpet, all right? And it can just get a little out of control. So let's be judicious with our trumpeting. But here's what I'm thinking about today's reading. You know, it starts off, it says, you know, "Announce to the people their rebellion, the house of Jacob, their sins." So what we're shouting about is how God's people are not following God's way, are not following God's law. They're not doing the things that God wants. It says, "Yet day after day they seek me and delight to know my ways, as if they were a nation that practiced righteousness." That's not the kindest thing written in the Bible. They seek me, they desire to know my ways, as if they were doing the right thing. They're pretending to do the right thing, God says, and did not forsake the ordinance of their God. They ask of me righteous judgments. They delight to draw near the Lord. Why do we fast, but we do not see? Why do we humble ourselves, but you do not notice? Oh God, we do all the right things. Why aren't you giving us everything we want? Trumpets can sound whiny too sometimes. And then finally, the explanation begins. "Look, you serve your own interest on your fast day and oppress all your workers." So we're talking about, he's talking about fasting. So the people ask, why do we fast but you do not see? Why humble ourselves but you do not notice? So fasting, right? A practice of withholding from things from, you know, of not eating is the primary kind of fasting, right? So you, and the old thing was like the image is people wearing sackcloth and like cover themselves in ashes. So they're humbled, so they're embarrassed, so they're humiliated, right? Like, oh, I look terrible. I'm fasting, I'm not eating, I'm spending my whole day feeling bad about all these things I've done. But it turns into feeling sorry for myself, right? And then eventually fasting as a practice, they cut out some of the sort of humiliating parts, and fasting as a practice became a thing that I can do so that I don't have to do the other stuff that I should be doing, right? And so like it says, you serve your own interest on your fast day. You do it to oppress your workers. You say, oh, I'm not going to work today. I'm fasting. So I'm going to be home fasting. So you do all the work for me. And don't get it wrong or you're in trouble. Right? That sounds pretty convenient. I should actually do more of that. Oh, I'm fasting today. I'll be fasting today. I won't see you in the office. Nancy can take care of everything that goes on around here. I'll be fasting. You know what I mean? Right? Doesn't that sound nice? So you're like, oh, I'm not going to work today. I'm fasting. I mean, like, fasting can be a serious and legitimate spiritual practice by all means, but it also can be abused, right? It also can be taken advantage of, and that's what God is complaining about here. I think the main concern through this whole long but so beautiful lesson in Isaiah is the part about how it's you're serving your own interest. And then later when it says, is such a fast that I choose a day to humble oneself? And it's the your own interest and the oneself that really gets it. Because when Isaiah here gets into the good stuff, the stuff you're supposed to be doing, it's not about oneself. It's not about your own self. The problem is fasting had become an individualized and a selfish practice for some people. Fasting is about me going off and doing my own thing at the expense of other people. That's what fasting had become. And then it says, is not this the fast that I choose? To loose the bonds of injustice, to undo the thongs of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free and to break every yoke. These are not about individual things. These are about setting other people free. The fast that God chooses is not about your own self. It's about what you can do for others. I've got a fussy 3-year-old. 3-year-olds are not great at the kind of fast. He's not even 3 for like another week, but I'm just rounding up to prepare myself emotionally, you know. 3-year-olds are not great at the kind of fasting God is choosing here. They're not great at setting other people free, at looking out for the interests of others. You know what I mean? 3-year-olds, I mean, that's the best they can do. I'm not blaming. It's not a, you know. That's right. They're needy. That's right. They need us. Yeah. I mean, if anything else, 3-year-olds show us the kind of fasting we should be doing, which is the kind of saying, oh, I guess I don't get to stay in worship today. I got to drag this cranky 3-year-old outside so I don't get to hear the sermon, right? That's the kind of fasting we choose. Set that poor kid free. Instead of making him sit in here during a sermon and be quiet, that's not going to work, right? That's the kind of fasting that God chooses. And it goes on. It's on more things to do for others. Is it not to share your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into your house? When you see the naked, to cover them, and to not hide yourself from your own kin. That one, to not hide yourself from your own kin, is really something. Because y'all have families. You know how sometimes you just don't answer the phone when they call. You know what I mean? Shh. I'm sure I don't know anybody who's ever done that. Never happened. Just not today, Lord, not today. Not now. I'll call back later, I promise. You know what I mean? Right? This is how it is. Yeah. And God says, okay, come on now. The point is to care for other people in need. To care for other people in need. That's the fast that God desires, is that we look out for one another. That it's not just about me. Step away from yourself, right. Which is not to say I don't think it's saying you should be trampled on by other people. And that's a different problem we've had in the, you know, certain people in certain times and over the years. Sometimes the church and the scriptures are interpreted to say, hey, you should be a doormat and let everybody trample all over you. Usually women get that part of the message and men get the other part of the message historically. That's not that cool, right? So it's not saying that, but it's saying, look, if the plan is, oh, I'm just going to take care of me and my own thing, that's not a sustainable plan. You know what I mean? That's not going to be a sustainable plan. Spiritual practices that are just for oneself and just draw you into your own self, it's just between you and God. Eventually, it's really just between you, and it's not about God at all. The thing about having a relationship with God is that it draws you into relationship with other people. That's kind of the point. It's annoying that that's the point. Because it would be nice if I could just do my own thing and like, oh, I have my spiritual practices and I'm doing my thing and I know that I'm good to go. But that's not the thing. That's not what Jesus was doing. I mean, what Jesus in the gospel, right, he says, don't hide your lamp under a bushel basket. Don't keep it to yourself. But let your light shine forth for all to see so they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. The whole point of all this God stuff, of all this Jesus stuff, is to go out and to be in relationship with other people, to care for other people, to love other people, and to share God's love with other people. It's on, I think it was on Twitter, there was a pastor, Chris something maybe, that I just happened to see this maybe last night, like, oh, I just learned from experience that if you put a candle under a basket, the basket starts on fire and it tries to burn your house down. So don't do that. Yeah, I know, right? Like, there's other things you can make baskets on. Or somebody pointed out, you know, if you put it under like a big clay pot, like it would run out of oxygen and the flame would go out completely. You know, that's kind of, these are some of the dangers of what Jesus is talking about. But the idea is, all right, you can't hide yourself from other people. You can't just back. No, there's times when you got to take care of yourself and you got to, I think, back off from things. And I don't want to misunderstand it. Like every time and all the time you got to be out with people. I don't think that's healthy either. But it's so easy for us. I mean, look at what it is. There are 14 of us here today because of this weather. It's so easy for us to just withdraw to our own selves and to do our own thing. Churches, as a whole church, do that, right? That's not what we're trying to do here. That's kind of how it goes. That's like the momentum that churches have, is to draw into themselves. Most churches, many churches. I think this church has that natural momentum to kind of draw into ourselves. We know these people, we like these people, we like to do things our way, you know what I mean? That's just kind of how it goes, and you wind up just sort of always coming closer and closer to yourself. And the hard part is to break out of that, to branch out, to build new relationships with new people, with new churches, to reach out, to do what Isaiah is talking about here, to look around and recognize that our own freedom really depends on the freedom of others, that nothing we have is our own, but it all belongs to God. And what we have, we need to share with other people. We need to give. We need to care for other people. We need to create space so that other people can have the good things that we have. And we need to be vulnerable enough to allow others to share with us the good things that they have. It's not like just because we're in church that we have all the answers, we have all the good things, and we're just giving them out to other people, and that's how it works. It's a two-way street, right? We as Hope Church have a lot to learn from Good Samaritan, for instance, or Heaven Citizenship Church, and I think we're going to do some stuff with them coming up that's going to teach us some of what we don't know. God bless us. It's going to be fun. This is the message that Isaiah has. If you remove the yoke from among you, if you stop chaining people, stop shackling people, stop limiting people, but set people free, see what God can do. Amen.